regardless of how this past Tuesday turned out, 50% of this country wasn't happy. It's a fact. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who won. Half of this country wasn't going to be happy. No matter who won the election, half of this country was going to be upset about it. We are such a divided nation. The enemy's mission hasn't changed. It's divide and conquer. If he can divide your family, he can conquer you. If he can divide your marriage, he can conquer you. If he can divide this church, he can conquer you. If he can divide this nation, he can conquer you. His mission has never changed. We are a divided nation. We're to be one nation under God. One nation under God. Under God. And the same God that made Caiaphas the high priest is the same God that made Joe Biden the president, is the same God that made Donald Trump the president, is the same God that in 4 years is going to seat another president, is the same God that in 4 years is going to seat another president, is the same God that in four more years is... We're one nation under God. Indivisible with liberty and justice for who?
All.
All. He's the same God. Amen. So we're called to honor one another. We're called to honor one another. Where have we gotten so far from that in this country? There is no authority except from God. And we're called to honor one another. The Bible says above everything, put on love. Colossians chapter 3, above all, put on love. Put it on. You got to wake up every morning, put it on. He said, put on love, forgiving one another. Church, love God and love people. That sounds like a great motto for a church. What do you think? Love God and love people. It's our responsibility as Christians. It's our responsibility as a church to show honor to one another. Look at Matthew 13, verse 57. So they were offended at him. Don't that sound like half of the country? So they were offended at him. Everybody's offended. Everybody's mad. Ain't they? Is it like, look, they even got offended at Jesus, y'all. They were offended at him. It says, so they were offended at him, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. And I want you to notice what happens next. Look at verse 58. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. A prophet is not without honor except in his own home and his own country. Amen. And it's no coincidence that the next verse is there. He did not do many mighty works. It's no coincidence that verse is there. He did not do many mighty works. In the previous chapter, he was in Capernaum and he had healed them all. But he goes into his own town and he does not perform many miracles because they did not show him honor. Is that what your Bible says? They did not show him honor. They didn't believe him. They didn't honor him. He was teaching in their synagogues. They're like, who's this guy? Ain't this the carpenter's boy? Who is he? They didn't believe him. They were dishonoring him because they didn't believe who he was. They didn't believe him and they were offended at him. They were offended at him. When you find a Bible principle, church, listen to me. When you find a Bible truth, if you will grab a hold of it and begin to practice it, I promise you it will release the mighty works. Amen. This is a Bible principle right here that you have got to get a hold of. Church, listen to me very carefully. It will release the mighty works. And this right here is one of these things that I am truly, truly, truly convinced can limit your life if you don't have it, and it's honor. Thank you for the four amens. Amen. Something that will limit your life if you don't have it. If you don't have a spirit of honor, it really affects your life. We live in a generation where it's popular to disrespect honor. It's popular to show dishonor. It's popular for comedians, for movies, for TV shows, for actors to show dishonor to people. It's almost like if you want to be popular, if you want to get out there, if you want people to see you, if you want to be, show dishonor and you can get a bigger microphone. Ain't that what it looks like in our generation? Show dishonor, disrespect people, and you get a bigger microphone. Many of us, and I'm going to speak for myself, grew up in a time where we were forced to show honor. We were forced to show honor. We were taught to show honor. We were taught to honor people's property and honor people's places and honor people's things and honor school teachers and honor adults and honor people in authority and honor people like our mother and our father and our grandparents. We were taught that we had to honor people because of the position they were in our life. We had to honor people just because of the position they were in our life. Just because you were an adult. Amen. But now, you know, so many people, they just have that spirit of dishonor. And it's not just, listen, it's not that just that dishonor is just manifested by what you don't do. Listen, you can dishonor people while doing what you're asked to do. Church, dishonor don't just come for you not doing it. You can dishonor people with what you say. You can dishonor people with your attitude. If someone in authority tells you to do something and you start sucking your teeth down, you thought, rolling your eyes and everything. Come on, somebody. You're sucking your teeth in and you're doing it and you're just spilling stuff all over them and I'm did it. You can dishonor people by doing what you're asked to do as well. Come on, somebody. Amen. That's a spirit of dishonor. Give me a big amen right there. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I tell you what, if I sucked my teeth in when I was a kid, boy, I'd have been spitting one of them out. Hey, I didn't get time out. I got knocked out. Woo! My mom and daddy didn't give me a time out. They knocked me out. Bam! Because we was forced to show honor. I'm not promoting abuse here, y'all. Listen to me. I'm not saying that. We'd have been missing one of our teeth. It was not tolerated in our house. Dishonor was not tolerated. Dishonor is not something that you want to get a hold of your life, church. Dishonor is not something that you want to get a hold of your life, because if you allow your children to dishonor you, then it's a matter of time before they get a job and they think they can treat their boss the same way that they treated you. And so when they lose their job later on in life because they decided to give the boss a piece of their mind and the boss decided to give them a piece of the pink slip, and you wonder why they're failing at life, and you wonder why they're failing at life, come on, somebody. We get caught up in this whole attitude. Well, I did it. I did what they asked me to do. Don't we? Huh? Well, I did it, but did you do it with the right attitude? Well, I did it. I did what they wanted me to do. I did it. Yeah, but you were sucking your teeth in and rolling your eyes the whole time. Did you do it with the right attitude? You can be doing all the right things and still have a spirit of dishonor. I said you can still be doing all the right things and have a spirit of dishonor. Jesus said in my own hometown, this is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus Christ. In my own hometown, I'm not honored. And read the story, church, it shut him down. It shut him down. He was not honored, and it shut him down. This is a big principle. Dishonor shuts down what God puts in people for you. This is a really big Bible principle. Listen to me very carefully. Dishonor shuts down what God has put in people for you. Listen. It shut him down. He was dishonored, and it shut him down. Dishonor closes you off to whatever they have. The miraculous power of Jesus Christ was shut down. It didn't say he didn't want to. It said he couldn't do many miracles because they dishonored him. Didn't say he didn't want to. He went in there and would have healed everybody. Dishonor shut him down. Think about it. They were talking. They were saying. He went in there and said, he couldn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief, because they had dishonored him in the previous verse. They were talking and saying, well, this the carpenter's boy? This is Joseph's son? Who is? They were dishonoring him. God in the flesh. And they were dishonoring him. He was ready to perform miracles for them, but they did not show him honor. And as a result, it cut off his power in their life. Did you hear me? As a result, it cut off his power in their life. That's what dishonor will do. You can be under the most anointed person and not get your breakthrough. You can be under the most anointed person and not get your breakthrough, not get nothing. And people all around you are getting breakthroughs. People are getting blessings because they have a spirit of honor. Your reception is not the thermostat for the body of Christ. I said your reception is not the thermostat for the body of Christ. Just because you don't like a singer or you don't like a preacher or you don't like the way the speaker looks or you got a problem with this or that, you are not the thermostat for the body of Christ. Amen. You have to understand whoever you honor, you get opened up to, and they can release. Whoever you dishonor, it shuts them down, and they're not going to release nothing into you, and other people all around you may benefit greatly, but if you're shut off to it, you'll never get it. Amen. You ever been in a church service, boy, people's getting breakthroughs all around you? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all act like I'm the only cynic in here. Come on, church. You know what I'm talking about? Your reception matters. I said your reception matters. In other words, if we develop a spirit of honor in the culture of this house, when people come in here, the Bible says in Matthew 10:41, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive or get his reward. If you receive people with honor and you receive them how you were supposed to receive them, then you get their reward. When people come here and they're dishonored, whatever God has for them for you is gone. Church, it's true. It's true. If you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you'll receive or get the reward. You receive them in the office. You honor the office. You honor the authority. You honor the place that God has raised them up to. There's something about showing honor to people that God will release the mighty works in your life. Watch. Watch this. When people come in, we want to have an honor culture in this house. Church, when people come in here, we're going to have an honor culture in this house that even if we don't agree with everything, even if we don't agree with everything about them, can you eat the fish and spit out the bones? If somebody says the name of Jesus, can you get something good out of it? If somebody says the name of Jesus, can you get something good out of it? And you know what? The rest of that stuff is up to God to deal with. But if I show honor, I can get the reward. Romans 13:7, put it like this. Give honor where honor is due, for there is no authority except from God. Amen. Give honor where honor's due. Give tribute to tribute. Give honor where honor's due, because there is no authority except from God. The same God that made Caiaphas the high priest, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. The four of you get it. I understand. People in position over you on a job or in life may not be even be qualified to be over you. Think about that. People in position in life and in authority in your life may not even be qualified to be over you. Amen? Amen. But that don't give you the right to dishonor them. That don't give you the right to dishonor them, because honor has to do with your own standard. Oh, you got to get a hold of that. It don't give you the right to dishonor people, because honor has to do with you. Oh, y'all missed it. Honor has to do with your standard. No matter how someone acts, I'm not going to give over into that spirit of dishonor, because honor has to do with me. Amen. Honor has to do with me, and if they're acting dishonorable, you know what? I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for them if they're acting dishonor, but I'm not going to give over into that spirit. It's a spirit, y'all. It's that spirit of dishonor. Watch. It affects your life. It affects your children. Amen. The Bible talks about in the book of Numbers, in the 12th chapter, it talks about Miriam, talks about Aaron, and it talks about Moses. Now, they were siblings. I want to go there. I would go there. Open your Bible. Go to Numbers chapter 12, because I want to talk about this for a minute. It's really amazing. Numbers chapter 12. Because Jochebed, their mother, was apparently a phenomenal mother. Jochebed was the mother of Moses and Aaron and Miriam. And she raised the first prophet, who was Moses. She raised the first worship leader, who was Miriam. And she raised the first high priest, who was Aaron. So she raised. She must have had some kind of special going on in her house. Amen. There was some kind of culture that she had in her house. Listen, and the Bible says that Moses was elevated above his siblings. And Moses decided to marry an Ethiopian girl. Open your Bible to Numbers chapter 12. It says Moses decided to marry an Ethiopian girl, so she was of a different nationality and she was of a different skin color. Amen. Church, listen to me. She was of a different nationality and she was of a different skin color, and the siblings didn't like it, and they had a falling out. They had a falling out. And the Bible says in Numbers 12:1, look at this, that Miriam and Aaron didn't agree, and they started murmuring, and they started speaking against Moses and his new wife. And the Bible says in verse 2, look at this, that the Lord heard it. The Bible said that the Lord heard it. They're murmuring. They're smack talking their brother. Oh, yeah. Uh-oh. And the Bible says that the Lord heard it. The scriptures say that God heard them running down his friend Moses. And I just want to warn you that God hears a spirit of dishonor in our lives. I just want to tell you now that when you walk around with that spirit of dishonor and the way you talk to people and the way you treat people, God hears it. Amen. Said the Lord heard it. Listen. People begin to lose their passion for God when they take on a spirit of dishonor. When we quit honoring people and you quit honoring God, you get that ugly spirit and you cut them off because you don't like this or you don't like that about them. And then the Bible says, look, that you can no longer receive from what they have. And God has gifted them with a gift for you. And you're cutting it off. By showing dishonor, you're cutting it off. That's not their loss, it's yours. Do you hear me? That's not their loss. It's your loss when you cut people like that out of your life. Listen to me. It's like a car that runs out of gas. I've seen it. I see people who get in church and they get offended at somebody and they lose the honor in it, and because they don't like something that was said or something that was done, and the next thing you know, they can't receive and they're just sitting out there like a car out of gas, not receiving nothing. And everybody all around you, we said it, right? They're like a car without a gas. Can't nobody preach you happy? Can't nobody sing you into happy? Amen. You're just sitting out there like a car out of gas because it's that spirit of dishonor. Can't nobody preach you happy? Can't nobody sing you happy? And people can be rejoicing all around you, but you're empty because it has to do with your own spirit of dishonor. That's the truth. That is the truth. Amen. I'm preaching good today. The Lord heard it. Somebody shout, the Lord heard it. The Lord heard it. And this is a part of the story that got me. Watch this. The Lord said, meet me at the tabernacle. Read it. I wanted you to open your Bible here. Read it. The Lord said, y'all get down here and meet me at the tabernacle. In verse 5, it says, look at this. That the Lord came. Keep going. Said he called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Go to the next one. Came to, oh, I'm sorry. Right there. No, I'm go back. I'm sorry. I missed it. It says the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. You see that right there, guys? I want to show you something. Verse 5, it says, the Lord came down and stood in the door of the tabernacle. This is the only time when God in the Old Testament wasn't behind the veil. After Moses got the description for the tabernacle, he built the tabernacle, and this is the only time since the tabernacle was built that God was not behind the veil. Once a year, the high priest was the only one that could go through. God stayed back behind the veil, but on this day, he got so upset with them dishonoring the one that he had raised. And the scripture said, God told them, you tell them to get down here to the tabernacle. I ain't waiting on them to come through. I'll meet them at the door. Get over here, boy. He was mad. He said, I'm not going to wait on them to do this and this and this and come back to me. He said, you tell them I'll meet them at the door. He was mad. God said, I'm breaking the rules. God said, I'm breaking the rules. I'm not going to let them dishonor Moses in the tabernacle. That's my first earthly church. In other words, I believe God was thinking like this. I believe it's so disturbing because he said, you know what? I'm not about to let that same spirit that got in Lucifer in heaven when he dishonored me, I'm not going to let that same spirit get in my first church on earth. He said, I'll meet you at the door. Hey! He said, I'll meet you at the door. We ain't going through all the rituals to get to me. I'm coming to you. Ooh. He was mad. He said, I'm a God who believes in honor and authority. And God met him at the door. Isn't that crazy? Look, he said, who do you think you are? You got to read it. Read chapter 12. Look. He said, who do you think you are? He said, things like, I talk to everybody else in dreams and visions and prophecies. And then he says in verse 8, look, but I talk to Moses face to face. He said, you're eating the food he prayed in. You're drinking the water he struck with a stick and turned it into a water fountain. You're drinking it and complaining about it. He said, you've been wearing the same clothes for 40 years. And when your belly grew, your shirt grew. When your feet grew, your shoes grew. And you want to sit and complain about the one I raised up? Read it. That's what he said. All this stuff that Moses has done for you, and all you can do is sit and complain and murmur. The Bible says they had a problem with Moses' wife because of her color. And then the scripture says in verse 10 that leprosy came on Miriam and she turned white. Read it. God said, She became white as snow. Ain't that funny? God's so funny. I'm not going down this rabbit hole. God, I want to. Listen, ain't this so funny? They were mad at Moses because he married a woman of a different color and God turned her white. That's funny. Kind of funny. And Moses, listen. Moses being the meekest, he had the right spirit. Moses being the meekest, he runs to God, right? And he says, please, God, this is my sister. I love her. She can't die of leprosy. Please, Lord. And I know most of you mean people out there, you'd be like, good for her. You go ahead and you, I married the wrong color. Right? I know you mean people out there, you'd be like, good, 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 good. Wouldn't you? I'm kidding. Listen, but Moses had to write, not Moses. Moses wasn't like that. Moses had to write spirit. Listen to what God said in verse 14. Moses goes to her and he says, God, that's my sister. I love her. And here's what God said in verse 14. The Lord said to Moses, well, her father would have spit in her face. You see that? This is God talking to Moses. He said, well, her father would have spit in her face and she would have been shunned outside the camp for 7 days. For dishonoring her father, she would have disrespected her father. He would have spit in her face. This is God. This is how serious honor is to God. God said that. He said her father would have spit in her face and put her out for 7 days just for showing dishonor. He would have spit in her face, y'all. Now watch this. So God said, I just decided to give her leprosy. It's funny. And Moses said, please, Lord. Please, it's my sister. But listen to this. Leprosy carries with it isolation. And God said, let her have leprosy for 7 days. And when you've got leprosy, you haven't got to tell people not to get around you. The principle is this, church. If someone has a spirit of dishonor, you're to treat them like they have leprosy. If someone has a spirit of dishonor, you're to treat them like they have leprosy. Amen, church. Because leprosy is contagious, and so is dishonor. Amen. You treat them like they have leprosy until they get over their little negativism. Come on, church. Stay away from them. Leprosy is contagious. Dishonor is contagious. Leprosy is a disease that affects your nerve endings and it causes you to lose feeling. And when a person has a spirit of dishonor, they lose the ability to feel God anymore. Amen. Through anybody. The anointing is flowing, but they can't feel it. The preaching is good, but they can't feel it. You've lost the ability to feel when you allow dishonor to come into your life. That's a fact. In Genesis chapter 9, Noah spent 40 days and nights locked up on a boat with a bunch of animals and his family, and he got off and instantly got drunk, and you would have too. I'm kidding. He was locked up for 40 days on a boat with animals, his family, and he got off the boat and got drunk. Genesis 9:21. He drank the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, listen, the father of Canaan, this was Noah's son, Ham. He was the father of Canaan. One of his boys came into the tent and saw his father's nakedness. And he went out and told his other brothers. He saw some uncovered flesh. This is very important, church. This is very important. I don't care how spiritual people act around you. I don't care how holy and anointed they are when they get behind the pulpit. Don't you ever forget that somewhere there's some flesh. Don't you ever forget that somewhere there is some flesh. And I don't understand why God uses who he uses. It blows my mind. Why do you think I'm standing up here? Amen. I've asked the question, I promise you. God, can't you find somebody else to do this? Huh? I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:26. He said, not many wise are called. Look, He says, not many wise are called. I don't know what the Corinthians did to Paul. Maybe they gave him a bad honorarium or something. I don't know what happened. Maybe they didn't tithe. I don't know what happened, but he just really starts ripping into them. He says, not many wise are called. There's not many wise among you. And then he really gets insulting. He said, there's not many mighty. There's not many good looking. That's what he said. He says, really, he's hidden it from the prudent and the wise, and he's giving it to the simple. I guess God's trying to say it like this. I want to see how you do with the position of authority, even when you're more qualified to be there than they are, but God put them there to test your spirit. Because God would rather have somebody with a humble spirit leaning on him than somebody that's way more qualified leaning on him, and then they get all crazy when they get up here. Hence, that's why God gave me a microphone. That's how it works. How many are you glad he said not many wise among you are? Not many wise among you are called. How are you glad he said it? Come on. How many of you glad that he don't use the wise? How many of you glad he said not many good looking? Let me see your hands. Come on, some of y'all need to raise your hands and your feet. I'm getting ugly too. I get it. I'm getting ugly too. Y'all hang on with me. Listen to this. He saw some flesh, and he ran out and told everybody, and he dishonored his father. He ran out and told his brothers what he saw. Noah was in the tent, which speaks of his covering. He was in the tent, which speaks of his covering, and he starts slandering and spreading it around. Guess what I know? Guess what I saw? Ooh. I'm not talking about weirdness, y'all. I'm not talking about you just look the other way in blatant sin. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this spirit of dishonor. That's what I'm talking about. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible deals with problems. And if there's problems, we're to confront them and we're to deal with them. The Bible handles all that. But we must have that spirit of honor in our lives. The Bible, we deal with problems. That's not what I'm talking about. But here's brothers, watch this. When they hear about it, his two brothers, they get a blanket. They get a blanket. Look at verse 25, 23 and 25 right here. It says Shem and Japheth took a garment. Walked backwards. They kept their face turned away from him. They covered their father's nakedness. They wouldn't even face him. Why? Because they had a spirit of honor. He's just a man. He's just a man and we're covering him. He's just a man and we're covering him. Amen. Noah has the blessing of the entire world in his mouth. What he pronounces over these boys, the prophecy that he will release, will touch the entire world. And then he prophesies. Watch. Read it. He says, Shem, you will be the head of the Semitic tribes and you'll do great things. And Japheth, you'll be over the European tribes and you'll be spread out. And he prophesies all these amazing things. But then he gets to the boy Ham. And I have heard people mispreach this many, many times. And they say that Ham was cursed. But that is not what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 25 that Ham was not cursed, but he said, cursed be Canaan. That was Ham's son. He cursed his son. Ham was the one who dishonored him, but he cursed Canaan, your son, because what you did, Ham, is going to go to the next generation. What I'm saying to you today is that a spirit of honor will either elevate you or it will completely decimate you. It will decimate your children and it will decimate your grandchildren. A spirit of honor will take them down the wrong path, church. But if I honor God and I honor people, church, listen to me carefully. It will be passed down. If I honor God and I honor people, it will be passed down and it will affect my children and it will affect my grandchildren, and I have a spirit of honor that's being passed down in my house. Amen, church. And I'm here today to declare that spirit of honor over you. To honor God, to honor people, to honor authority. I don't care what the news is screaming. I don't care what the press is screaming. I don't care what others are doing. We are to be a people of honor. May there always be a culture of honor in this house, church. May there always be a culture of honor in this house, on our house, on your family. A culture of honor. We don't have to agree with everybody that we honor. We don't have to agree with everybody that we honor. We honor the office if we can't honor the person. And I just like it when, I don't like it when people get personal. Amen. People get mean. I don't like it when people get personal. Show honor. Show honor. Let this be a house of honor. Honor the Lord, honor leaders, honor one another, honor authority, honor the police, honor every manner of man, government leaders, honor the office if you can't be honoring the person. Do not get caught up in that spirit of honor, dishonor. Don't do it. Do you want the mighty works? Do you want the mighty works? Do you want the mighty works? When you get a spirit of dishonor, the Bible said he could do no mighty works. Do you want the mighty works? Yeah. Four of you? He said, because of dishonor, he could do no mighty works. Do you want mighty works released in your life? Then honor people. Honor God. Honor authority. Therefore, if I honor God, then I honor the people that are in authority, because the Bible says that God allowed them to be there, whether you agree with it or not. So be careful. Check yourself. Check yourself. Be careful. God put them there whether you agree with it or not. Right? The Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, honor your wives. As Christ loved the church, love your wives. Honor them. Do you honor your husband? Do you honor your wife? Praise the Lord. Or do you just treat them like they're nothing? Honor one another. The Bible says in Exodus 20:12, one of the big ten, thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. They're not perfect people. You're going to see some flesh. The Bible says honor thy father and thy mother. They're not perfect people. You're going to see some flesh out of them every now and again, but honor them. Honor them. Let's disconnect from this spirit of dishonor and say, you know what? I am not going to dishonor people anymore. I'm going to pray for them. God, please heal their leprosy. Woo! And I close with this. Write these down. Proverbs 15:33. Before honor comes humility. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders who rule well be worthy of double honor. Let the elders who rule well be counted among you worthy of double honor. I want to take a minute and let's applaud our elders right now. Come on. Right here. Here they are. They're up here. They're here. Thank you. The Bible says give honor where honor's due. Let's go. Thank you. Thank you for these men. It's an attitude of respect. It's called manifest respect. Double honor for these guys. Double honor for these guys. Come on. Double honor for them. Says he's worthy of double honor. All of you are. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. What you did today in giving to the house of the Lord is you honored the Lord. And I know we haven't taken our offering yet, but we're going to. But what you're going to do today is honor the Lord. Amen. And God says, I see it. God says, I see it, and I'm going to release mighty things. He sees your honor, and he's going to release mighty things. How many of you received this word today? Say yes. Praise God. Don't matter if you do or not, it's true. Praise the Lord. Come on, stand to your feet for me. I'm all done. Praise the Lord. Oh, hold on, don't move. I've got something. I want you to stand to your feet. This is the most important part. Because I believe in my spirit right now. The Lord wants to heal somebody this morning. I said the Lord wants to heal somebody this morning. And when you begin to honor the Lord, listen carefully. The Lord wants to heal somebody this morning. And when you begin to honor the Lord, and when you enter into a culture of honor, and you get all of the disrespect out, church, listen to me very carefully, and you get all of the disrespect out, and you start honoring God, and you start honoring one another, mighty works can be released. I wonder what miracles that little town of Nazareth missed because he could do no mighty works there. Because he was dishonored. Because they didn't show him honor. Think about the miracles that they missed out on. How many of you would like to give great honor to Jesus this morning? Come on. Let's create a culture and an atmosphere of honor to Jesus Christ this morning. Come on, can we lift up our hands right now? Let's lift up your hands right now. We just want to honor you. Let's begin to honor Jesus. Lift up your hands. Open your mouth if you're not ashamed. Let's begin to honor Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Come on, we thank you, Jesus. Lift up your honor and praise. We love you, Jesus. Give honor where honor is due this morning. Oh, it's all to you, Jesus. Call him your healer. Call him your deliverer. We honor you, Jesus. All of you who have been healed, honor him right now as your healer. Come on, all of you who have been delivered from drugs and alcohol, honor him as your deliverer this morning. All of you who have been financially blessed this morning, honor him as your provider this morning. Come on, praise him and honor him this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus, we love you. We thank you, God. And if you need healing in your body, oh, if you need healing in your body, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, this. Everybody that needs healing, I want you to put your hands up right now to there. Reach up to heaven. Reach up to heaven. We've created an atmosphere of honor here that's going to release the mighty works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Does anybody still believe that in here this morning? If you're around those with their hands up, just reach out to them right now. We speak life this morning. In the name of Jesus, cancer be gone this morning. We speak life this morning. In the name of Jesus, heart disease back up in the name of Jesus. Respiratory problems be healed in the name of Jesus. Blood issues be made whole in the name of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, we pray for anyone who is in here with any infirmities, God. Father, we pray for mental restoration, God. Father, we pray for physical healing, God. Father, we pray now for diabetes to be gone in Jesus' mighty name, Father. Lord God, we love you and we thank you, Heavenly Father. Come on, let's honor Jesus this morning. He is in this room. He is in this room. Give honor where honor's due. Thank you, Jesus.